and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast titled Verification of Avionics Software. My name is John McHale, Editorial Director with Open Systems Media and the moderator for today's event. Our speaker today is Jay Abraham, Technical Manager at the MathWorks. Jay is an expert in software tools for the verification of critical embedded applications. He has more than 20 years of software and hardware design experience. Jay has held chair memberships in IEEE standards committees and has presented at prestigious conferences such as the Design Automation Conference and the Embedded Systems Conference. This eCast today will consume about 35 to 40 minutes, leaving the remaining time for the question and answer session. Before we get going, however, I want to point out some important buttons on your screen. First, please take note of the Enlarge Slides button. By clicking on this button, you will be able to view the slides in full screen mode. The second important button is the Forward to a Friend button, which enables you to send an email request for this event. And lastly, you'll find on your console window a button that allows you to enter questions in real time. We'll do our best to address these questions during the closing Q&A session. If you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, one of our technicians will respond back to you during the eCast. Please note that as much as we'd like to, we may not be able to get to all your questions today. In that case, someone may get back to you after the eCast with more information. This eCast will be posted online today, and an audio podcast will also be available. Now I'm pleased to turn it over to Jay Abraham. Jay, take it away.
Well, thank you, John. Well, hello. If you're attending this webinar, you must have a low tolerance for defects in your military embedded software. In fact, an IBM study found that 40% of software errors were runtime as opposed to functional errors. What does this mean? Well, good design, careful coding, and thorough review and testing can help you eliminate most functional errors, but you can't depend on these techniques to catch all runtime errors. In the history of critical software projects, there are many examples where a single undetected runtime error caused human casualties, mission failure, or significantly damaged an organization's morale, reputation, or finances. Today, we'll summarize three such cases, and then we'll show you how Polyspace can help you address those critical defects using formal methods to prove specific parts of your software to be safe under all possible runtime conditions or to show where they will fail. So, here are the three cases that I'd like to summarize very quickly, and the net summary of this is that complex software systems will fail, and they can fail with consequences. So here are the three examples: the Ariane 5 expendable launch system, the USS Yorktown, the Thorak 25 radiation therapy machine. In these three cases, there were runtime errors that caused these systems to fail. They were in the form of overflow errors, divide by zero errors, and race conditions. And as you can see, you know, there are consequences to these type of failures. There was a destruction of the launch vehicle, a ship's propulsion system failing, and also casualties. So the agenda for today is going to be looking at static code analysis and seeing how static code analysis can solve these problems. So to begin, I'll actually start by explaining what static analysis is and also why do we need static analysis. And then we'll conclude by looking at three uses of static analysis for avionics systems, in particular using this technique to identify critical defects in C, C++, and Ada source code, and also using static analysis as a way to produce artifacts in the safety standard certification process for DO-178. And then finally, we'll look at how this technique can be used to optimize test and verification cycles. Now, in addition to the consequences that I mentioned in one of the first slides, it's interesting to note that when you have these type of failures, the cost can also be quite high. So here are some examples in the aerospace industry where you can look at this particular table here for these various projects. The Ariane 5 that I mentioned before, well, the cost for that particular project, the failure, was about $594 million. You know, one of the most expensive launch failures was the Titan 4B in 1999. That was at a cost of about $1.5 billion. And this is because of a decimal point being in the wrong place. So the net result is, you know, these type of failures can be quite expensive. All right, so now let's take a look at the various ways in which these complex avionics systems can fail. So there are a number of reasons. You know, these range from having insufficient specification, design errors, software coding errors, mechanical failure, deliberate interference, and human errors. But as I mentioned in my introduction, the scope of this particular webcast is going to be in the domain of design errors and software coding errors. So this is where runtime errors can be produced, and this is where they can creep into your software. And this is also the domain of static analysis and how static analysis can detect these type of defects. Now, the type of errors that we'll be looking at are in the form of runtime errors, and they can take the form of dead logic, unreachable states, non-initialized data, and so forth. Now, some of these things you might not think of as runtime errors, for example, dead logic. This is a case where the code may not execute. Now, these type of errors are actually problematic because that could be an indication that the software was not designed correctly. And also for standards such as DO178, they're very particular that you do not have any dead logic or unreachable code in your avionics software. And there are, of course, other things like overflows, underflows, which are mathematically computation related. And again, you want to make sure that your software does not contain these type of defects. And then we'll look at ways in which we can detect and also prove that these type of errors do not exist in your code. All right, so now let's get to the introduction of static analysis. So what is static analysis? Well, it's an automation technique. It primarily relies on scanning your source code, and it's a way in which you can automate the software verification process. Now, there are various techniques that you can apply that are used to do to perform static analysis. Now, these techniques range from unsound methods to sound techniques. And they also range from, you know, low levels of sophistication to very high levels of sophistication. So on the low end of things, you are looking at techniques like compiler warnings, so detecting incompatible types and even hard-coded divide-by-zero type conditions. Then you get to more advanced techniques such as code metrics. Here you're looking at the complexity of your code and maybe even looking for compliance to standards such as MISR C, C++. Then you get into more sophisticated techniques like bug finding. Here you're relying on pattern matching, heuristics, and statistics to identify potential bugs in your code. Very highly sophisticated techniques use formal methods. Here we're using sound mathematical processes to prove that your source code is safe. What's interesting with these techniques is that there are no false negatives. So when you analyze when you perform static analysis of your code, of your software, with formal methods-based techniques, you can actually be sure that all defects, all the type of defects that you're trying to identify have been detected, and if not, some of the reasoning behind that. So let's go ahead and run through some of these techniques and kind of examine how you can apply them. So the first one is compiler warnings. Now, here's a snippet of code. I'm not sure whether you can see the code in there, but essentially what we've got is we've got two functions, one calling the other one, and one of the functions expects its parameter to be of type float. We're actually going to replace that with an int, so obviously we're trying to call that function with the wrong type. And if you were to compile this code, the compiler will detect these type of errors. So it's simple. Compiler can detect it. You can fix it. And you can move on. So this would be a very simple type of static analysis technique that you can apply. Now you get to some of the more sophisticated methods, I would say, and that is the application of code standards. So why should you apply coding standards to your software development process? Well, as you can see in that first bullet there, if you have some code that has star, 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 PTR equals 12, and you were to compile this code will actually compile. But is this code of high quality? Right? That I would say is debatable. If you have five levels of pointer dereferencing in your code, that probably means that your code is very, very complex, and it's probably error-prone. So this is where you have standards such as MISRA and JSF, and they essentially impose restrictions on C and C++ code, so that you can write safer code. And in fact, standards such as DO178 do require the application of coding rules or some levels of coding standards. And in fact, table A5 in the DO178 standard actually requires that your source code comply with standards. All right, so let's get to some code. Let's make this a bit more interesting. And as you can see here, we've got some a function called a new position. That's about 25 lines of C code. And imagine, you know, you're working with a colleague, you're developing some code that's going to go onto, you know, an aircraft or a UAV or a missile. It's an avionics type system, and you've either written this code or your colleague has written this code, and now you're responsible for making sure that this code is very safe, very robust, and that there are no bugs in the code. So take a look at the code. Do you see any bugs? You know, you can see that it's a function that takes in two parameters of type int, sensor position 1, sensor position 2. There's a return called actuator position. You can see, look at the code, and you can see that there's some math, there's some if-then conditions, there's a while loop. And do you see any place that this code could potentially fail? So I'll give you a moment to take a look at it. And while you're looking at it, I'll give you a little bit of a hint. So if you look on line 22, you see that there's a divide operation. And in this particular divide operation, if the variables x and y are equal to each other, you'll actually get a division by zero. And that would cause a program crash. Now, is that particular condition possible? When I take a look at this code, it's hard to say. I can tell that the variables x and y change based on the inputs to this function. At least it seems to be that way, right? So I could say that there is a potential for this divide by zero runtime error in this code. Now, interestingly enough, when I take a deeper look at this code, if I were to do a code review, for example, I could see that there are lots of places in the code where variables may not be initialized, and that too could be a problem. Now, here are the places in my code where there could be overflow potential. And anytime I add two numbers together, and since this is integer math, obviously there's a potential for an overflow type error to occur. There's also a division by zero potential, you know, that I showed you before. And then finally, you know, since I've got this while condition and if condition, there's also the potential for dead code. So even though that divide by zero might have been an obvious thing to look for, there's lots and lots of other places, you know, where this code could fail. And in a DO-178 standard process or any other type of high-quality certification process, you'd have to do code reviews. You'd be looking at your code in this, you know, taking this very detailed look, and imagine the manual process that you'd have to go through in order to ensure that none of these potential errors could arise in the code. And this is only 25 lines of code. All right, so imagine now a project where you have 100,000 lines of code or 50,000 lines of code. This becomes a very, very detailed task that is difficult to do. So this is where we turn to static analysis, and in particular tools like Polyspace from the MathWorks, which actually is a formal methods-based static analysis tool. It's a very sophisticated tool that can not only detect runtime errors in your code, but it can also prove that your code is safe. So we'll get to a quick demonstration of that, but before we do that, I wanted to give you a quick overview of the tool itself. Essentially, the way Polyspace works is it takes in your source files, either C, C++, or Ada source code, and then it actually uses a technique called abstract interpretation, which is a formal methods technique, to prove that the code is safe. And once you go through that proof-based analysis, what Polyspace will do is it'll color code your code. It'll mark in green places where the code is proven to be safe and reliable, red where the code will fail with a runtime error, and then those places where the code is dead or unreachable, those are marked in gray. And then finally, code that is unproven is marked in orange. Unproven would indicate that the code may fail under some situations, or it's not possible to prove that particular portion of code is safe. Polyspace also includes code rule checks for MISRA and JSF++, and these code rule violations are marked in purple. And then finally, Polyspace has this really neat feature that I'll show you in the demonstration, where you can look at the ranges of variables by simply highlighting the variable, and then you get this tooltip that tells you the range of the variable. So with that, let's go ahead to the demonstration. Okay, so you're probably now wondering, how is Polyspace able to prove that, you know, that particular line of code will never fail with that divide by zero? So in order to explain that, I've got to actually give you a quick introduction to a formal methods-based technique called abstract interpretation. This, in fact, is at the core of how Polyspace is able to do this proof-based verification. So abstract interpretation is a formal methods-based verification technique. It's a solution that can be applied to software programs. And the best way to explain this is to consider the multiplication of these three large integers. So when you're looking at this particular multiplication problem, if I were to ask you to calculate the final answer by hand, I think you'd take a little bit of time to figure that out. But if I were to ask you what is the sign of that computation, I think you can very quickly tell me that the sign is going to be negative. And furthermore, you can also tell me that you know for certain that the sign is not going to be positive and that the result is not going to be zero. So how were you able to do that? Well, what you did was you actually abstracted that problem, abstracted away all of the details of that particular problem, and you were looking at that problem from the sign domain perspective, and that is actually an application of abstract interpretation, because you know the computation result there could have been either positive, negative, or potentially even zero, but you know that when you apply the rules of mathematics that a negative number multiplied by a positive number should give you a negative number, and you know that in a provable sense. So this same principle can be applied to software programs in a much more complex manner, obviously. But using that same technique, you can actually make these provable claims about your software. So let's go back and take a closer look at that particular problem, you know, where we were looking at that line of code that said, you know, x is equal to x divided by x minus y, right? So how can I prove that x will never be equal to y? Well, one way to do this is to kind of move into this theoretical domain and then imagine, if you will, that we know every single x, y data value pair for my program. Now, if I knew this information, I could actually plot that out in this x, y coordinate system where each of the hash marks that you see there represent x, y data value pairs. And then you see the red line down the middle, that's the x equals y or y equals x line. And again, in this theoretical domain, if any of these hash marks were to intersect that y equals x line, I would know for certain that you know, I've got a divide by zero condition. But how do you do this in a programmatic way using abstract interpretation? Well, one very simple technique would be to do what's called type analysis. It's basically looking at bounding conditions whereby I estimate the range of x and y, and I come up with this bounding box, and I draw that bounding box, and if that bounding box were to intersect that red line, that y equals x line, then I would know, then I could make the claim that maybe x could be equal to y, and there could be a potential runtime error in my code. Now, this is a very proximate technique. This is not certain. It's not proof-based. And obviously, you know, for certification purposes, this is an argument that you might not be able to really make. Now, with abstract interpretation and with Polyspace, what we're actually doing is we're coming up with a very accurate range information for the variables in my code. So, you know, as you saw in the demonstration, I was able to hover my mouse, and I knew very precisely what the ranges of my variable x and y were going to be. And in fact, what Polyspace is doing is coming up with these complex polyhedra to encapsulate the ranges of my data. And by doing that in a very precise manner, as you can see in this graphic, we know for certain that these ranges of these polyhedra that you see drawn out in green do not intersect that red line, and therefore it's not possible to encounter a situation where x will be equal to y. Now, all of this is done without any code execution. We haven't had to write any test cases. It's also exhaustive, right, which is a very important thing when it comes to safety critical, you know, avionics system. And it's also sound, because we're using mathematical proof to make our claim, and we can use that. All right, so let's go ahead to the next slide here. And actually what we're going to do now is get into another demonstration where we'll look at some more complex code and see how we can use Polyspace for that. So now let's take a look at the application of Polyspace with respect to certification standards such as DO178B, DO178C. So in that respect, let's see how Polyspace fits into the V model and DO178. So here's the V model, starting with system requirements, ending with vehicle integration and calibration. You can see the various places where Polyspace fits in. So when you're in the software design to coding phase in the process of either handwriting code or generating code, this is where you can use Polyspace to check your code for compliance to standards such as MISRA or JSF++. Now, once once the code's written and you're getting ready to go into the integration phase, you're performing unit tests. Again, this is another place where Polyspace fits in. And then finally, when you're getting into hardware integration, software integration, that's another place where Polyspace fits in as well. So for those that are familiar with the DO178 workflow itself, where you begin with requirements, you're looking at the model or developing the model or the design, then getting down to the source code, and then finally getting down to the object code, and you've got to do various tasks as part of the whole DO178 workflow, traceability, validation, checking for conformance, and some levels of verification. Again, there are three distinct places where Polyspace fits in. And by the way, Polyspace is a DO178 qualifiable tool. So for one thing is at the source code level, in terms of conformance, where you're looking at robustness of the code, that's a clear place where Polyspace fits in. When you want to ensure that the object code matches the model, so Polyspace does have some capabilities there as well in terms of ensuring that the compile code adheres to certain requirements of the design. And the same thing applies when you are tracing or performing verification of the object code back to the requirements itself. So it's probably easier to see this when you look at the various places of the DO178 standard for which you can get certification credit. So there are two distinct places that we've seen customers or users of Polyspace claim credit. So that is table A5 and table A6. So table A5 has to do with the source code. Table A6 has to do with the object code. So table A5, for example, if you see the last entry there, table A56, source code is accurate and consistent. The credit with Polyspace there is exhaustively identify fixed point arithmetic overflows, use of uninitialized variables, use of uninitialized constants, data corruption due to tasks or interrupt conflicts. Now, one of the things we can do for you is that as part of taking your software through the DO178 certification process, we actually have a kit that goes along with Polyspace that helps you qualify the tool and also assists you with the certification process itself. Now, for table A6, again, there are various different places where you can get either full credit or partial credit. So, for example, table A6-1, executable object code complies with high-level requirements, so we can exhaustively identify uninitialized variables, parameter passing errors, data corruption, global data-related issues, inadequate end-to-end numerical resolution, detection of arithmetic faults, detection of violation of array limits. And again, this is all fully documented in the qualification kit that you can get as part of Polyspace as well. And this includes various levels of documentation in terms of explaining the formal methods technology behind Polyspace, how that applies to the certification of the tool and use of the tool for DO178. All right, now let's take a look at another place in which you can actually use Polyspace to essentially improve the quality and overall reliability of your software development process, and that is to optimize the test and verification cycles. So one particular workflow, one particular methodology is having to deal with changing your code or having legacy code and then having to go back and modify that. And the motivation here is, you know, software and avionics systems obviously will undergo changes during development and operation. You know, the change could be in the form of either rework or new functionality that's being added in. Perhaps a different target is being used, the process is being changed. And also you might have to go in and do some rework because of bugs that have been discovered. And then when you make these type of changes, how do you make sure that you're not introducing new bugs into your code because of, you know, these fixes that you're applying or these other enhancements that you're making. So Polyspace can actually help you do that in a very efficient manner. And I'll show you a demonstration of how we can do that. And for this particular demonstration, what we're going to do is we're going to start with some code. We're going to assume it's some legacy code that's been in operation for a number of years, so there's a lot of confidence in the quality of that code. But then what we're going to do is we're going to be changing some of the global variables in that code, in particular changing the value of the global variable. And when we do that, we want to understand the side effects of making this change. Are we going to introduce a new bug in that particular piece of code or perhaps somewhere else in my program in some sort of unintended fashion? And if I do that, is it possible to detect that type of problem with Polyspace? And this could be thought of as a nice way of introducing tools like Polyspace into your workflow, especially if you've got legacy code, existing code that is undergoing some change. So with that, let's get to the demonstration. All right, so now let's just get to some of the key takeaways here, and then we'll get to your questions. So in summary here, you know, we showed you three techniques for using the Polyspace Static Analysis product or tool for the verification of avionics software. We looked at how you can use tools like Polyspace to detect critical defects in your C++ ADA code. The examples I showed you were in C, but you can also use this on C++ code and also ADA, which is quite prevalent in the aerospace industry. The other most important point here is also the proof aspect, where you can actually prove that your code is safe and reliable. Then we showed you or discussed a little bit about how you can use some of the results from Polyspace in terms of the overflow detection, divide by zero detection, and so forth as part of the certification process for standards such as DO-178. And then lastly, how you can use some of the features of the product to identify places in code that could be problematic when you have runtime errors. When you're actually making changes to your code. And then from an overall quality perspective, you can use tools like Polyspace to improve the quality of your code, because with the color coding that we're able to provide and also with the deep proof and analysis that we're able to do, you know where code is safe and unsafe. And because of that, you can actually minimize time and effort spent looking for bugs, right? Because the tool is able to tell you where code is safe and where code could potentially fail. And then finally, you can use Polyspace as part of the artifact generation process for DO-178. So with that, let's go ahead and take your questions. And I think the questions will be handled by John. So I'll hand this back over to John.
Sorry, some small communication issue there. Thank you, Jay. Excellent presentation. First question from the audience. Should you use formal methods static analysis for all types of code, e.g. even non-safety critical code?
Yeah, that's a good question because, you know, when you're looking at formal methods-based static analysis, you know, we're doing this very, very deep type of analysis of your code. So I would say, and especially when you're looking at embedded systems, you know, you got a wide variety of embedded systems. You know, the phone that you probably carry in your pocket is an embedded system. The avionics system that controls the landing gear on a flight that you take, well, that's also an embedded system. You know, where do you need to apply these very deep levels of verification? I would say that for applications that are safety critical, business critical, mission critical, that's when you do want to apply these very deep levels of verification. I think if you've got a piece of software that can be easily patched and where quality is not a very strict requirement, you know, in those situations you may not want to be using tools like Polyspace.
Okay, thank you very much, Jay. Now for our next question from the audience, this is very personal. Hello, Jay. Can we have sound techniques for the Simulink diagram?
It's a good question. So you can. There's actually, so just to give a little bit of background, Simulink is the MathWorks Simulink product that's used for modeling and simulating in a complex embedded systems. For Simulink diagrams, we actually have a different product that has formal methods verification techniques, and that is called the Simulink Design Verifier product. So that product actually does have formal methods techniques with which you can do design error detection and a whole host of other things. Now, I didn't show this in my demonstration, but within a code generation environment, for example, if you're using Simulink and using embedded code and you're generating code from your models, you can then apply Polyspace to verify the generated code. But there, what you're doing is you're actually doing the formal methods-based verification at the code level as opposed to the model level.
Okay. Thank you, Jay. Our next question, is Polyspace a qualified tool in the sense of DO-178B tool qualification?
It is. But there's a key distinction here. For DO-178 processes, if you're going to certify your tool to that standard, you as the person or organization that's certifying their code have to qualify all of the tools that you use in that process. So to assist with that, we have a qualification kit that'll help you show the FAA or the DER you can use that to qualify a tool to show that the FAA and the DER that it's a qualified tool. So MathWorks as a company can do that qualification for you, but we can provide you with materials to help you assist you with that qualification process. We do have customers that have done this.
Thank you, Jay. Next question. Does Polyspace perform interprocedural analysis, analyze the effect of one procedure calling another?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question. In fact, in the second demonstration that I showed you, with the multiple files, so there you had a situation where you had one function calling another function, and Polyspace is able to trace through all of that. And as it does so, the variables that are being passed along, global variables that are being modified, the ranges of that are being very accurately kept track of, and we're able to tell you, as a result of that data flow, control flow, whether there could be a runtime error.
Thanks, Jay. Next question, report formats. Does Polyspace output the findings in a report format, or is manual effort required to take the output and put it into a report format?
We provide reports. So there are standard reports that you can generate from the tool, and this is important for artifact generation for DO-178 and other standards. You can also customize those reports. We have a report generator feature that you can also add as part of the Polyspace products, and you can then customize those reports for you. But there are standard reports for the code rules, such as MISRA C++, JSF++. There are different reports for runtime errors. There's another report for the data dictionary. So there are very, very standard reports that you can generate from the tool in PDF, text, HTML formats, but you can also customize them.
Thanks, Jay. Next question, what is the average length of time it takes an experienced software engineer to get up to speed with your Polyspace tool?
So the typical process that we employ is, we'll kind of demonstrate the tool for you. We'll take some of your code through the verification process. Once you've kind of become accustomed to looking at the results and the reports, there's some training that we can offer. I think I would say in general, it's a relatively user-friendly tool. You can quickly ramp up. The user interface is very much like an IDE. Now, it's not going to be an overnight process. You're going to have to get accustomed to how the tool operates. You've got to be able to interpret the results. But it's a relatively quick process. And if you get to use the tool day in and day out as part of your development process, it's relatively easy to do.
Okay, next question. And keep them coming in. If I'm going to use Polyspace, can we avoid doing structural coverage analysis?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the answer is, if it's DO-178, the answer is no, because you do have to run dynamic testing and code coverage as part of standards such as DO-178. And since we're operating purely at the source code level, we're not eliminating those other steps that have to do with tests that you have to do at the object level and also coverage analysis. And the other thing to also keep in mind is that, when we do detect dead code, that gives you a lot of information about what's going on in your software. But, dependent on how the ranges were specified for the analysis for Polyspace, those results might not match one-to-one with structural code analysis. So, Polyspace can help you in that process because, for example, if we do identify dead code and then you try to go do coverage analysis, if there's dead code that'll never execute, then it's better to know that up front than to spend a lot of time with your code coverage analysis tool trying to get coverage for this branch that'll never execute. But it doesn't eliminate that requirement 100%.
Thanks, Jay. Next question. Does the Polyspace tool generate any false positives?
Yeah, that's a good question. So false positives, you know, there's a concept of false positives and false negatives, right? False negatives is, you know, you're missing something, and thereby you miss a potentially critical defect, right? And Polyspace has no false negatives because we identify every single place in your code that could potentially fail with the type of runtime errors we detect. A false positive is where, you know, the tool identifies something to be a problem and it turns out not to be a problem. Now, in the case of the red detections, the code that's identified in red, that is a definite runtime error. We've actually used formal methods to prove that a runtime error is going to happen when you encounter that line of code under all conditions. The orange is a little bit of a tricky area because the oranges are where the code could potentially fail, and it could fail under certain circumstances, or it could, you know, or it might not fail at all. So, you know, some may think, well, that's a false positive, but that's not the case, right? Because there are some situations under which that orange could potentially fail, and then you've got to do a little bit of debug to really understand if those conditions would arise. Now, it's possible that those conditions may not arise because of the ranges of the variables that the program will be executing with. And in those cases, you know, you could say that it's a false positive. But the reality is that there's that risk of failure, and we've identified that with this orange. So, you know, it's a difficult question to answer because, in one sense, I would say, you know, there are no false positives at all because, you know, everything that we've identified could potentially fail in one way or the other, and you've got to do that debug to identify if that condition could arise. You know, it depends on how you look at the results, I suppose.
Thanks, Jay. Next question. Is Polyspace completely compliant with DO178C?
So DO178C is the new standard, right? It's the updated standard from DO178B. You know, the new standard actually has a supplement that addresses formal methods. Now, in terms of compliant, you know, obviously, you know, Polyspace does lots of things, right? So you you can't use all of the features of Polyspace in a DO178 process. But, you know, I can tell you that, you know, we have several examples of, you know, customers that use Polyspace in the DO178 certification process. They use it to prove that their code doesn't have overflows and divide by zeros. You know, they show those results to the FAA and their DERs, and, you know, that it's past that level of muster.
Okay. Next question. Can Polyspace be used as a script rather than interactively? And are there ways to mark certain code identified by Polyspace as an issue to be a non-issue, in other words, so it doesn't continue to show up as a problem?
Yes. So the answer is yes to both questions. So from a scripting standpoint, you know, I showed you the GUI, the GUI. You can also run this from a command line. You can script this with you know, calling the executables directly with the appropriate parameters. You can integrate this as part of the build process, or if you've got other tooling that you want to integrate it with, it's very easy to do and customizable in that sense. And the second part of the question was about, I guess, you know, if you've already detected issues before, can you kind of mark them so that you don't come back to take a look at them again? And that's absolutely possible. So I think I showed a little bit of it. There's this concept of justification whereby, you know, if I review some of the findings from Polyspace, I can actually check those off as I've looked at it, I've classified it as a defect or not a defect or something that I've got to come back and look at later on. I can check it off so that the next time I update my code or the next time I run Polyspace, I don't have to look at these results again. And I can actually export these examinations that I've done from one version of code, and then I can import that back into the next version of code, and then Polyspace does an intelligent diff, and it'll apply these reviews, you know, in a very intelligent manner. The other thing you can also do is, if it's possible to insert comments into your code, I know in some situations, you know, the development organizations may not let you do that, but if it's possible to modify your code and insert comments, you can actually give directives in your C or C++ code to say that, you know, I know this particular construct may be flagged in Polyspace, but I want Polyspace to ignore it. And then, you know, when you go to do your review, you can bring those results back, but you can also hide it or filter it out so that, you know, you're not bothered by it every time you're looking at the results.
Okay, thanks, Jay. We have time for two more questions. The next question is, does Polyspace also do dynamic analysis for finding concurrency bugs such as deadlocks and or race conditions?
So we do look for concurrency type issues, and that is actually done statically, and we take a very conservative approach whereby we're looking at variables, looking at the read-write patterns for these variables and seeing if there's protection in the form of mutexes and locks being called before and after a variable is being read and written to. But that's done statically. It's not done dynamically. Polyspace is a static analysis tool. It doesn't execute the code, we can support some level of concurrency analysis statically.
Okay. Thanks, Jay. Now for our last question. When identifying global data corruption of shared variables without protection mechanism, can we define our lock-unlock functions, or does Polyspace check default lock mechanisms such as mutex lock or mutex unlock?
So you have to define those functions up front to Polyspace so that we know what we're looking for. So we don't, we can't just scan the code and then figure out, what's a locking function. You have to define that up front.
Okay. Thank you, Jay. That brings us right up to our time limit for today. Thank you, Jay Abraham, for speaking. And I would also like to thank our sponsor, The MathWorks. This eCast will be posted online today. Note that an audio-only podcast version will be available. Thank you all for attending. I look forward to seeing you in future audiences on Open Systems Media webcast. Goodbye.